place all up. There you go. Like the sound of that one. Good on you, mate. Appreciate that today. Enjoy the cricket.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
I'm Sarah Womby. A man has been electrocuted after coming into contact with a fallen power line in southwest Sydney. Emergency workers found the 38-year-old's body on the driveway of a home on Acacia Avenue, Punchbowl, last night after receiving a call about 10:30. Police said a report will be prepared for the coroner. Three people have been arrested and others detained during duelling protests yesterday at Melbourne's St Kilda Beach involving right-wing extremists and anti-fascists. One person was arrested for possessing drugs, another for breaching bail, and a third for carrying weapons. Several hundred people came for the rallies, the first held at midday by anti-racism campaigners ahead of a right-wing event organised by convicted criminals Blair Cottrell and Neil Erickson. Mr Erickson says gang-related violence is a big problem.
People are sick of it. If you look in the crowd here, none of these guys are Nazis. None of these guys are racist. But there's sick of the violence that has been perpetuated on innocent families on the beach.
A middle-aged man is facing a murder charge after stabbing another man in the stomach in a Queensland unit. The 29-year-old victim died during surgery in Brisbane's Princess Alexandra Hospital after he was stabbed in the stomach in an Ipswich unit about 9 yesterday morning. Police say up to 4 people were in the unit in the suburb of Bouval when the man was stabbed, all of whom were known to each other. Detectives believe a knife was used to stab the man. A 45-year-old man was charged with murder late last night ahead of a scheduled appearance at Ipswich Magistrates Court tomorrow. Also in news, South Australian police are investigating an unexplained death after discovering a body believed to be that of missing woman Georgia Wallace in the Adelaide Parklands. In Western Australia, two 16-year-old boys have been charged after rocks were thrown at cars on a Perth freeway, one smashing through a windscreen and hitting a man in the chest. And former Neighbour star Darius Perkins, who appeared as the original Scott Robinson in 1985, has died after a fight with cancer at the age of 54. Overseas, Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybkov says Moscow isn't willing to consider a prisoner swap involving the former US Marine Paul Whelan, who's been arrested for spying. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford reports.
Sergei Rybkov described the arrest of Paul Whelan as very serious and said that at this stage, talk of swapping him for any Russian detainee was inappropriate, counterproductive and politically unjustified. His comments came after days of speculation that the former US Marine may have been arrested to exchange for Maria Butina, who's pleaded guilty in the US to conspiring to act as an unregistered agent of Moscow. Russia's foreign ministry and President Putin have condemned that case repeatedly and loudly. Sergei Rybkov, though, said there is no link between Mr. Whelan's arrest here in Moscow and other detentions.
And a late-night fight at a California bowling alley has turned deadly, killing 3 men and injuring 4. Police in the coastal city of Torrance in suburban Los Angeles reported to calls of shots fired at the Gable House Bowl shortly before midnight local time on Friday. 7 people were found with gunshot wounds inside the premises. This is AIR News. Australia have reached 6 for 236 at stumps on day 3 of the 4th test, reducing India's leading to 356 runs, but losing 4 wickets in the post-lunch session. Opener Marcus Harris says it's been a struggle, but the Aussie team is still in good spirits.
It's just been great to be a part of it. I've been thankful for it every day, but it even feels like a million overs, but you're out playing a test match for your country. So the morale's still good, everyone's still positive, and I'm sure a few boys are pretty sore and tired, but everyone's still in a good space.
Melbourne Stars have cruised to an 8-wicket Big Bash League win on the Gold Coast, snapping a 5-game losing run against Sydney Thunder. A clinical performance with both bat and ball helped the Brisbane Heat comfortably beat the Adelaide Strikers by 43 runs and consolidate third spot on the WBBL ladder. Meantime, the Sydney Thunder and Melbourne Stars were forced to share the points after bad weather forced a no result. Roger Federer has nominated Novak Djokovic as the man to beat at the Australian Open, but the Swiss maestro looms as a major threat himself following his near-perfect Hotman Cup campaign. Federer won all 4 of his singles games in straight sets at the mixed teams event, helping propel Switzerland to a second straight title. Daniel Medvedev will play Kei Nishikori in the Brisbane International Final. And Heinrich Hausler is racing at the Australian Road Cycling Championships today for the first time since he won the road race in 2015. Australian Independent Radio News.
From Tuesday, catch the Magic Millions Carnival on Sky Sports Radio.
about this, Mum. The Bingley This Only Happens Once a Year Absolutely Massive Deals.
Hurry up!
On a huge range of the world's leading brands in everything from fridges and washers to TVs, computers and Bluetooth speakers.
I've got to go now.
At prices you won't believe sale.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
But, Mum, this year's sale is bigger than big.
The Bingley Bigger Than Big Sale. Done.
But, Mum!
Lionel.
The Bigger Than Big Sale. On now at Bingley.
It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm on Inglis Millennium Day, Saturday, February 9. Be trackside for Sydney's first million-dollar race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million Inglis Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million Inglis Sprint and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
One to victory. The Tigers, and they've done it again, the Hurricanes. They are simply brilliant at chasing. Pays the foul, the card, and it is a red. And a smile of amusement for Khalifa Cisse as his return to the Mariners team lasts 25 minutes.
150 for Punt and 150 in style as well. This young man has arrived at the international stage. Got to hear this name for a long time, Usha Punt.
To Taragi! And there's Bogut's best block of the game.
Cross, is this the hat-trick for him? Steadies, chips, gorgeous!
But what about the composure and the skill?
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Well, they said we'd never do it, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. We have off. We have liftoff for 2019, Raymond. Who'd have thought?
This is our ninth year together, James. Do you believe that?
Ninth year?
2010.
Wow. We've been together for the same amount of time that I've been married.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this relationship is not as harmonious as yours with your lovely wife, Tracy.
I don't know. But anyway, it's separate. I get on really well with you. Let's not underplay that. We've got a big show lined up for you to kick start the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend into 2019. We'll have the race replays very shortly. Our legend of the... We've done a little bit... just changing things up with the makeup, the scheduling.
By necessity.
Yes. Brad Haddon is our legend of the game, and he'll be on the program 7:30. Yeah, he's also the Australian fielding coach. I'll tell you what, if he's the Australian batting coach, we'd have a fair bit to ask him about, but we'll leave that. We'll move away from that. Nothing to see here. Yeah, cricket legend Brad Haddon is our legend of the game today, and because of his requirements at the SCG, we'll be doing that at 7:30. We'll be taking calls on the open line, of course. Robbie Dolan will come along. Just the two winners for Rob. Including one for Mr. Waller. So congratulations to him. We look forward to having a chat to the Irishman. Ron Quinton has had a very impressive winner with Jungberg.
Is it Jungberg?
I'm presuming it's after Freddie Jungberg from
Arsenal. Is that how you pronounce Freddie's name?
Freddie Jungberg.
Okay.
Or how do you put it? Lungberg?
I thought it was Jungberg.
Jungberg. Oh, silent G.
I could be wrong.
Jungberg.
Yeah.
We better ask Ron about that. Event Cinema's quiz. Score update, Ray?
It's nil all.
Yes, it is.
I'm back in the game.
It's nil all.
What are we playing for this year?
Four cartons.
Four.
Well, we could have said six. We could have jackpotted it to double. The three cartons, by the way.
Do I get 6.5 start?
Making good progress through the three cartons.
You've seen in a couple of weeks.
It's that time of the year.
It is.
So, yes, nil all in the quiz.
So I get a start?
You're kidding, aren't you?
Oh.
Do you want one?
Last year. It wasn't even a contest.
Yeah, you're right. In the end, I don't think 13 plus paid out, but didn't really matter in the end. Stopped counting and stopped keeping score. So we will have the quiz. Now, the quiz today, you're going to win a Winx book and a Sports Year Diary. Mm. A Winx book. So it's the book quiz.
The book quiz, yeah.
Diary and Winx book. We'll speak to Matty Dunn as well. He doesn't come to the races anymore, but he still sends his horses.
He went to the Gold Coast, yeah.
Yeah. So La Scopa, a good win for that horse. NBL and NBA with Brad Rosen. Sydney King, I tell you what, he was full of beans on Friday, Brad Rosen. Yeah, no worries. We'll win these two games over the weekend. Illawarra Hawks, 78-71. against the Sydney Kings. Zorba will come along with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We had more incidents during the course of the week, off-field behaviour that was poor. Michael Cheekham, and he would be under pressure now to retain his position at the West Tigers, I would have thought, pending an investigation. Allegations at this point, pending an investigation.
Innocent until proven guilty.
That's right. Doesn't read well. Tanya will give us our sports update. We'll have an A-League update, and EPL with Phil Moss. In fact, it was FA Cup overnight over in England. Manchester United 2-0 for all those who are interested.
Liverpool's unbeaten run ending.
Yes, how good was that?
That wasn't good.
2-1, Man City. Got back to 1-1 too. Mm. Yeah, to be honest, I was looking for the 4-0 result.
Of course.
Well, that's the thing, man. You know, I was saying it at the time. Like, who would you... I don't know who I'd prefer to win. Man City or Liverpool? Yeah,
being a Manchester United
supporter. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Trent Langscale, our Victorian listener, he's back as well too. So there were some question marks about that at the back end of last year. But he's actually come through, and yeah, he'll be joining the program as well, so we can look forward to that. 1353 53 is the open line number. What
and
we don't really... Yes, Raymond?
You didn't say what our theme of the show this week was as well.
Well, I thought we'd get to that a little later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you can release it now.
What
I mean,
predictions?
Predictions
for 2019.
You can't tease people now. All right, go ahead. Fire away.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Fair enough.
No, do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay. NRL, I think the Panthers can win. Bit of bias there. Bit of bias there. AFL.
Bit of bias.
AFL, Carlton won't win the wooden spoon.
That's what it's come for Carlton. That is what it's come to for Carlton supporters, isn't it?
Believe it or not, as a Carlton supporter, I think Collingwood win the flag this year.
Right.
That'd
be upsetting for you then.
I know, but I think they can actually win the flag. The Ashes, I think we can win it, and that's bias, I know, and Steve Smith can make a triumphant return and bolster our depleted batting stocks and win the Ashes in England.
Mm.
That might be a little bit over the top. Rugby World Cup this year, James?
Yes.
I reckon the Wallabies can make the semis. That's about as far as they can go.
Okay, Matt Burke said that during the week. He said they'll be semi-finals.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Ireland and New Zealand are the two teams. I actually think the Irish can win it.
Yes, a lot of people think that. That's our panel operator, Hamish.
He's from New Zealand.
Yeah, he's from New Zealand.
Okay, this is a pretty obvious one. Federer wins again at Wimbledon. Okay. Yeah, I knew that was coming, yeah.
He had a win overnight too, by the way. Did you see that?
Third Hopman Cup. Tiger win a major. I think I said that last year.
Right, you keep saying it.
Major. Yeah.
It's like the clock with the time.
And I better do a horse racing one.
Yes.
The Autumn Sun, the heir apparent to Winx.
Yes.
Will win at Royal Ascot.
At Royal Ascot?
Mm, the Queen Anne Stakes, I'm thinking.
Wow. Okay.
He's for the taking.
There you go. There you go. Very good, Raymond. 1353 53. By the way, the best contribution for our predictions today get themselves a Big Sports Breakfast cap, a sports year diary, and the all-important carton of Wingman.
Mm.
The carton of Wingman, our great sponsors here on the program.
Said product endorsed by you and I.
Fully endorsed.
Absolutely.
we've gone public with it too, haven't we? Yeah.
What are your predictions, James?
Okay, I'll start with racing. Red Zell wins third Everest.
Wow.
Third Everest for Red Zell.
Third Everest.
He'd become the highest stakes earner in history. He'd go past Winx.
Well, it goes to $14 million the race. I think the first prize amount towards seven. He'd be in the low 20s, so I think Winx would still be in front. If Winx can go through her autumn unbeaten again and win a Kiwi Stakes.
Queen Elizabeth is a $4 million race.
She'll finish with about 25, 26 million.
Okay.
So, but he's getting close.
In the NRL, the Roosters won't win the comp.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason I say that...
It's hard to go back-to-back, isn't it?
And they've got to travel to England to play Wigan. When
takes
was
out of them.
Exactly. The Melbourne Storm got to the grand final this year. They didn't have to travel to England.
Good point.
They played that World Club Challenge down in Melbourne against Leeds. They travel to England this year, the Roosters. History says it's just too hard.
Good point.
It's just too hard. So it pains me to say it.
So who wins?
I think the Broncos are a massive hope.
Okay.
I think the Broncos are a massive hope. Swans will miss the eight in the AFL.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they've got some issues there. Cricket, Steve Smith will score 100 in his return test match.
I think he'll star in England.
Is that the Ashes? In the Ashes? And, I looked it up the other day. I'm pretty sure it's at Edgbaston.
First test, isn't
it? Yeah, is it? First
test after the World Cup, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's first a late start to the Ashes.
Edgbaston. Yeah. And you know what Steve Smith averages at Edgbaston?
No.
7.5.
Oh, really?
He's due. 15 in two digs.
He's due.
There you go. It's not a great hunting ground for him, but he'll score 100 in his return to Test cricket. Mm-hmm. Australia will make the final of the Rugby World Cup.
Okay.
Yeah, Australia will make the... Ash Barty will make a Grand Slam final but not win it throughout the course of 2019. And Mark Leishman will win a major.
I like that one. I hope he does.
Mark Leishman will win a major. Mm. So there you go.
Both of us are sweating on Steve Smith's return.
Pretty much.
And probably Dave Warner too. And for obvious reasons, because at the start of this summer,
yes,
everyone was concerned about whether Australia could score enough runs. And as it's proven, we just haven't.
And in short, the answer is no.
Yeah. And to be fair to India, I think we've got to give credit where credit is due. They have come here and shown why they're the world's number one test side. They have been outstanding. Pujara at first drop, I love watching him bat because he's a rock around which India build their innings.
Yes.
He's now scored hundreds in first innings of three of the four test matches, set up India's victories.
Yes.
He was outstanding again. They're batting brilliantly around him. And their bowling attack, they've got a fast bowling attack that are a handful to deal with.
Yes.
They've been great, India, and they have exposed Australia's weaknesses in the top six. We just haven't had the batsmen there to combat them. And their batting actually have dominated our strength, which is supposedly our bowling attack.
That's right, and you can talk as much as you like about the way the wicket plays and all that sort of thing. However, and the importance of the coin toss, and we heard during the week, and India were $2.10, and they were into $2, and then they won the toss. Mm-hmm. They went to $1.68 immediately before a ball is bowled.
But you know what? A lot is made of that, and you and I were both talking about it last week after the MCG test, but in this innings, virtually every dismissal so far has effectively been batsman error, as distinct from pitch or bowling getting on top of the batsman. I think you could look at each dismissal and say incorrect shot or whatever.
Poor technique. Mm-hmm. And that's, I was going to get to that too. Labuschagne looked... He looked pretty good for his 38, and then he just played across the line.
He's been thrown to the walls, poor kid.
What's that?
First drop.
Yeah, I know.
Thrown to the walls, a poor kid.
Travis Head, I think when he walked off, he realised, Travis, that he would not play Test cricket for a long, long time. Mm. He's lobbed a full toss back to the bowler, so he is out. Sean Marsh scored 8, just played down the wrong line, easy catch to slip, and you think, have we seen the last of Sean Marsh? The side that they pick for the Sri Lanka test, which is starting at the Gabba on the 24th of January, surely with an eye to the Ashes, excluding Warner and Smith, is Sean Marsh there?
Do you rush Bancroft back? He hasn't got much of a chance to score any runs. Is there any Shield games before Sri Lanka?
No.
Well, how many you can't put him
no,
back
you
in?
Can't rush him no. back. You can't rush him back. Peter Hanscom's not out, 28. He's looked okay. He's made a significant change. He's coming forward from the crease rather than being right back in the crease. So whether that works for him or not, we'll have to wait and see. The other thing that was announced during the course of the week was the one-day international squad. And there are some people who cannot believe the omissions. To be honest, I'm one of them. I watched Darcy Short on Friday night and see him
such a clean
play really good cricket shots. And somehow he's left out of the 50-over squad. How is Chris Lynn left out of the 50-over squad?
Chris Lynn, in the short form formats of the game, is as explosive a batsman as you'll find. Isn't that exactly the format he should be playing?
Totally.
T20 or ODI?
Who would you prefer to bowl to, Peter Hanscom or Chris Lynn?
Oh, it's no brainer.
Who would you prefer to bowl to, Usman Khawaja or Darcy Short?
You'd answer your own question.
So, you know, that's the strange one. I know Shane Warne's come out and said as much, so Warney can't believe it.
Can't believe a lot of the selections this summer.
No,
Warney,
so. So Trevor Holmes and his panel are getting a little bit of heat put on them at the moment. And one of the other things, I was listening to ABC Radio and hearing Ed Cowan talk about it, and he was talking with, I think it was Dirk Nanners at the time, and they were having a discussion and a tea break or something, and they said, well, and the question was asked, well, why don't they, do we get any explanations from selection? Or no. Oh, no.
It's
no,
a vault
no,
there.
No. Oh, yeah. No explanation as to why, what, when, whom, how.
Okay, I'll throw one back at the positives. Can we look at the summer and find some positives? I found a couple. Pat Cummins. So I think his efforts with a bat and ball has just been outstanding. For sheer effort and consistency and quality, Pat Cummins stands alone.
Yes.
Nathan Lyon, as always, terrific competitor, can't knock his contribution. I think Marcus Harris has shown some really good signs. He's made a start in virtually every innings. He's got to learn to turn those starts into big scores.
Mm.
And I think Tim Payne's done a great job in, I guess, getting the public back on side, getting the Australian team back playing cricket without that aggro. whether that's translated into results on the pitch, I suppose, is the concerning aspect. But he is fighting with two hands behind his back, given there's no Smith and Warner in the team.
Bad shot that he played yesterday, yeah. Tim Payne. He's only basically missed one chance this whole series, so yeah. His glove work has been excellent. His ability to answer the phone during a press conference and take the message
and pass it on, I think,
was absolutely outstanding. However, there is more at play.
That was funny.
It was very good. However, basically Australia cricket's at a very, very low point at the moment. India have never won a series here. And they all talk about the final frontier and, but Smith and Warner aren't playing. I was reading during the week when Australia won in India in 2004.
And Gilchrist was captain.
No Ricky Ponting. Sourav Ganguly and Harbhajan Singh did not play the last test.
There you go. Well, that's part of sport.
The other thing that caught the eye was your colleague Robert Craddock, who wrote yesterday about Nibble Nudge Nurdle replaces Biff Bang Whack in limited over squad. Basically saying there's been a real change in the selection, given those players that we were mentioning being omitted and being included. And when I heard the Nurdle and the Nick and Nudge and... I thought, my goodness, Ray Thomas has a chance to play one day international cricket for Australia.
Where are you going with this? Seriously.
I thought, good on you, Crash. Trying to get your mate Ray Thomas a game for Australia.
Good man, Crash.
You were supposed to be racing at Warwick Farm yesterday. You ended up being racing at Kensington.
Yeah, and gee, it was the forecast searing temperatures probably didn't quite get to that high point, but those storms came just after, towards the end of the day.
Yes.
Some really good performances. James Lundberg. Impressive. High-tailed as he go to the Magic Millions. Hugh Bowman's booked.
I think the answer is yes, isn't it? We've got a price on high-tail in the Magic Millions. I think $15 chance at the moment.
Hugh Bowman booked. And Hart Conquered and Say Stella. I thought it'd be race for the day. Gee, it was. What a contest. They're both very, very good sprinters. New track record for Hart Conquered. Say Stella lost. Nothing in defeat. So... some pretty handy performances out of a low-key summer meeting.
I know there was only five runners, but Easy Eddie did it comfortably too.
Lived up to his name.
Absolutely he did. So we'll be talking all of that this morning. 1353 53 is the open line number. We want our predictions for 2019. We've got a cap, Sports Year Diary, and the carton of Wingman to give away for that as well. We'll take a break now. It's 22 minutes past 7. Then after the break, we'll have our race replays, and then we'll have our legend of the game, Bradley James Haddon.
Stay right where you are and enjoy your favourite reality viewing this summer staycation. The one you watch from the windows of your own home. Wideline windows and doors can create the perfect frame for your view. Whether it's bifolds at Bankstown, casements at Coffs, or awnings at Abermain. All backed by a 7-year guarantee. Take a closer look at the stylish range of Wideline windows and doors. Get started today by visiting wideline.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Barton clear to the front, got a half length on, hit the bed, and Barton comes away. Loves it a mile down first up, and Barton draws out by four.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. It's 7:23 on Sunday morning. Nice little SMS from Safe there. Just a little reminder, Jimmy, while you're clearly gloating about the quiz win, it's just as hard to go back-to-back in the quiz.
Mm.
Lovely Sophie, right on the money, James.
Yeah, we'll wait and see, Sophie. Thank you very much for your contribution to the program.
No, it's good to hear. Hey, racing, as I said, at the Kensington track yesterday,
yes.
From Warwick Farm. Got a smaller crowd than Canterbury Friday night. Isn't that going
gangbusters? Is that right?
7,498 in Canterbury on Friday night.
Yeah, okay.
Real great family atmosphere. The opening race yesterday, Hightail, backing up after a good effort at Randwick the previous week, goes even better for Hugh Bowman in the opener.
Underwood trying to slip them coming around the turn. Extends the margin to 3-4 lengths now on Islands. Then came Avon River being scrubbed up. And now Hightail pushed along is giving chase to the leader. Looks as though Underwood may have had enough here. And Hightail quickly pounced on it, took the lead and shot away now inside the 150 metres. The second favourite, Avon River, goes to second. 24 Carat to third. But the first favourite's going to give these a caning. Hightail, with the benefit of the racetrack experience, wins it by 2.5. Avon River second, 24.
P&P Snowden trained for Huey Bowman, as you mentioned. Now it looks like the two-year-old classic at the Magic Millions is the target. Unite and Conquer, the $5 favourite there. So dubious and yes, yes, yes. City Ford says yes more often, has just eased to $6. Hightail, I've got to say that, Ray.
Plug in for you.
Yeah. Remember at the footy stadium?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, $15 Hightail.
No, and looks like he'll go, as you said, Huey Bowman booked for the ride, so all the indications are Hightail will be on the Gold Coast. And why not? Jim, it's a $2 million race. He had a pretty soft win yesterday, so Team Snowden will take all those things into account.
Interesting. Pete Jones said he don't think he's the highest quality horse. However,
he's a genuine two-year-old.
And that's right.
He's going to be in the race up to his ears. On to race three. I've lost count of how many tab highways Matty Dunn's won. Here's another one. Last Scoper.
Elegant Ellen takes a narrow lead, but scrubbed up from Abini Zadoro's getting an inside run. Then Roy's Command La Scopa getting to the outside and further back to reward the chase. And they fan across the track. Abdullah says, go on La Scopa. Zadoro goes through on the fence to take the lead from Elegant Ellen. La Scopa's winding up on the outside. It's La Scopa joining and heading the front runner now. And the favourite starting to edge away. La Scopa goes on to win it from Elegant Ellen in Nick second, right on the post. Elegant Ellen second in front of Zadoro. Roy's Command fourth, followed by...
I think the comment from stable rep Kira Dunn, who was there, was that it takes a bit of time to wind up, Lascopa, but as soon as she did, bang, didn't she put some space between her rivals?
Two lengths late, very strong, and no doubt she'll be better at 1,400. And I did have a quick chat with Matt Dunn yesterday.
Yes.
He was on the Gold Coast, and I just said, what's the plans? He said, country championships, if she can qualify for that final over 1,400 metres at Randwick, ideal.
Grafton, March 17.
That's it.
We'll be the target.
We'll hopefully talk to Matt shortly. On to race four, the most impressive winner of the day. Let's see how Darren Flindell pronounces Ron Quinton's sprinter. I think it's Jungberg.
Running on well on the outside is Botti. The favourite, Jungberg, storms to the front now inside the 300. Drew clear from above and beyond. Good gap back to Nindamos finding the line, but Jungberg has struck well clear from Nindamos. Botti down the outside, above and beyond, kicks on. But here's a big win for Jungberg. Goes on to win it from above and beyond. And very close for third, Nindamos.
Sorry, yeah.
So there we all
potentially Magic Millions guineas. Potentially.
So there we all were being quiet for the pronunciation, and then where do you think it'll go? Potentially the three-year-olds race at the Magic Millions.
Yeah, Ronnie Quinton's basically put a line through. We'll ask him, sure. He said no yesterday.
So not in the market at this point.
Which makes sense. He was about $15, but I think the tab might have taken the horse out of the market because Ron Quinton was fairly adamant he wasn't going.
Outback Barbie, $2.80 favourite there. Boomsara at $4, and then you get out to Bondi and Kapperjack, $11.
Okay, two summer sprint finds in Sydney this season have been Hart Conquered and Say Stella. They met yesterday. This was race of the day.
Say Stella's gone through on the fence now to join Hart Conquered at the 375. Say Stella and Hart Conquered, and Hart Conquered's going better the outside. Then came Rebel Mess and Only Get a What down to the 200. Hart Conquered a half in front to Say Stella, showing the stick and fighting back. It's Hart Conquered ahead in front to Say Stella. Hart Conquered still in front from Say Stella, and Hart Conquered was able to beat the favourite Say Stella. Could get back to Taysira third.
So do we have any idea where Hart Conquered and Say Stella might end up?
Well, I know where Hart Conquered will probably be by Monday, by tomorrow.
Right.
In a spelling pack, most likely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was his seventh run for the prep. He's got better and better as the prep's gone on, and shown that he's just as effective on top of the ground as he is in heavy tracks. So.
Yeah, with record yesterday.
Track record.
Track record yesterday. So you could tip him out and then bring him back for autumn? How do you,
yeah, or late autumn into Brisbane in the winter, because you know he's going to handle soft tracks if it happens to rain during the winter. So he's got all bases covered, and he's a quality young sprinter. As is Say Stella, who I thought fought back really well under pressure against Hart Conquered. Lost nothing in defeat, James.
Yeah, okay, well... Let's have a look at the market for the Everest.
Oh, you're aiming high with Conquered.
Well, let's get ahead of ourselves, Raymond. Red Zell, $6 to go back to back to back.
Did you know that before you made your prediction?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
There you go. The price assessors agree with you, James.
Yeah.
You're on the money.
Trapeze artist at $8. So
there you go.
Okay,
two races I want to highlight from the Gold Coast yesterday. Godolphin have never had a Magic Millions runner. Until now, James, their two-year-old Exhilarates qualifies with a dominant win.
The 375, but Tamer just the leader. The Odyssey on the outside. Here's Exhilarates on the outside, looming up, and they're clear from LeBook and Burnstress over on the inside. Here's Exhilarates has raced up on the outside, the little Godolphin filly. The Odyssey trying to rally back late. LeBook and Batama's over on the inside, but it's all Exhilarates. And Exhilarates is exemplary. One at 2.5, LeBook and the Odyssey. Fourth Batama.
So Exhilarates is $8 in the market, and as we talked about during the course of the week, with Brad Davidson and Adam Pengilly, that Godolphin will again wade into the markets there at Magic Millions and try to pick themselves up some,
which is good,
some promising yearlings. That's great.
They bought this filly last year, and now she qualifies. Kieran McAvoy to ride in the Magic Millions, so she's right in this race. On to race 7, Snow Valley, another one for Maddie Dunn, maintains her unbeaten record. Jimmy, this is a promising filly.
Unconditional right down the outside with also Spot on Spud. Archer's Paradox is the leader. Here's Snow Valley on the outside. Archer's Paradox and Snow Valley. Archer's Paradox, Snow Valley on the outside. Snow Valley goes to Archer's Paradox and Snow Valley powers away. Snow Valley by 2 lengths to Archer's Paradox. Third Unconditional. Fourth Elixir. Fifth Dolphin.
Okay, promising horse there for Matty Dunn, Snow Valley. Where to next?
I don't know.
Right.
When I spoke to Matt yesterday, it was before Snow Valley had run. So, look, I'm happy we've got Matt coming on shortly because he can tell us where she's going to. She's highly promising, Jim.
So am I, because, you know, it's not often I look at you, Raymond, and you give me blank stares.
I don't know.
Where's Hard Conquered going? I don't know.
No, I did, the paddock.
Yeah, where's Say Stella going? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Snow Valley? No. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to a break. We're just trying to clear
up
things here. As a start to 2019, I think we're more Travis Head than Marcus Harris. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
A break, and speaking cricket, we'll come back with our legend of the game. The schedule change for 2019, Bradley James Haddon.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last 5 consecutive Australian Oaks and 5 out of the 7 Australasian Group 1 guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
60 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount $1,000. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 60 months interest-free store-wide. Big brands, big savings. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
Edge. Oh, he's got another one, has he, Haddon? That's a beauty. That is an absolute beauty.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Isn't it great to have familiar faces and friends and SMS come in, Raymond?
There's a couple of beauties. One is Greg from Yaguna. Jimmy and Ray, my confident prediction is that my prediction will not win today's prize. That's Greg from Yaguna.
What a coincidence, Greg.
And this is Paramat. 2019 predictions. Jimmy will repeat statements he thinks are important, statements, points he thinks are important, and ask himself questions to make a point. Okay. Ray will say, you can't say that, and you're a hard man at least once every Sunday. There you go.
Well done, Paramat. That's pretty close. Morning, Jimmy and Ray and Tanya. Half glass empty, Jimmy. Roosters will go back-to-back. You still can't believe you didn't pick the Roosters 1975 team as the best ever. Super uppercut, Jim. That's from Polly. Well, there you go, Polly. That's just my thoughts. 1353-53, the open line number. Keep the thoughts coming in. Time now to speak to our legend of the game. It's a little bit out of sync, but he's a man that's got things on
exactly. This
morning. He's the fielding coach for Australia. He's the former player number 400. Test
400, was it? There you
player
go.
Number 400, Bradley James Haddon. He's been good enough to join us on the line before his commitments today. Hello, Brad.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. How you going?
Morning,
yeah,
Brad.
We're well, mate. Look, we'll get to it first. almost get it out of the way.
Weather.
Go the rain. Not, go the rain.
Not quite the weather. More the batting and the bowling. We'll leave the fielding alone because we know that's your domain. But what about the expectations of the Australian cricket side for the next 2 days at the SCG?
Yeah, it's been a disappointing couple of days. We can't hide behind that. And we've been taught a lesson, to be honest, at the moment with the number one team in the world on how you play test cricket and how you wear an opposition down. So I think the disappointing thing mostly about yesterday was that we had a really good wicket and a great opportunity just to go out there and bat. And we had 2 days to do that. There was no demons in the wicket. And I think the thing that we were most disappointed with is that the wicket didn't get us out. It was more our behaviours under pressure, which was a disappointing thing.
Yeah. The ebb and flow of test cricket and sport indeed, Brad. You have your ups and downs, but how's the mood in the dressing room with the Australian cricket team?
Yeah, everyone's hurting. They are. I think what we've got to learn with test cricket, this group has to, is that over a long series, what you try to do with your opposition is you try to break them down, not only physically but mentally. And I think we've seen that with Pujara. The way he's gone about his game this series, just to wear you down and wear you down till you get to this final game in the series, and you don't really know where to go. So, yeah, the boys are down. They're hurting as much as anyone, but we've got 3 days left. They've got to keep presenting. I think any Australian want is for us to just to fight, to throw a few punches back over the next 3 days.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Brad, let's go back to the start for you. How did cricket become a part of your life? I can't believe you weren't a rugby league superstar, given what your old man achieved in country rugby league. And why wicket-keeping?
That's a good one. Wicket-keeping was... I was at an under-10s trial, to be honest, for a rep team, and everyone at that age wants to be a fast bowler, so I put my hand up to be a fast bowler, but I wasn't blessed with great height, so they looked past me, then they said, who wants to face the bowlers? And I said, oh, well, I'll be an opening batter, and put my hand up, and they looked to two other guys, and they said, oh, who wants to be the wicket keeper? And no one put their hand up, and I said, well, I can catch, and I put my hand up, and that's how it all started.
There you go. Do you enjoy wicket keeping, Brad?
Yeah, I loved it. It suited my personality, Ray. I was always in the game, which is something that I liked, and I enjoyed the pressure of it. Having to be up for every ball, you can have nothing go your way for 6 hours, and the one chance that you get at the end of the day could swing a result. So I enjoyed that side of it.
Mm. The family was at Queanbeyan at the time. The ACT Comets were just about to come into a bit of mercantile mutual cricket. How important was that? How did that give you the belief that you could make it at first-class level?
I think I was blessed, to be honest, Jimmy, with that, because everyone finished their schooling in 17s and 19s and were trying to make their mark in grade cricket in Sydney. And I had the opportunity to walk straight out of school, straight on the stage, basically, with the international or the national cricket. Mm. So I got exposed straight away at a young age, and that gave me the opportunity then, when I did come to New South Wales, that I had a head start with everyone else because I'd already played at that level and I'd had a little bit of success. So the Comets, for me, those couple of years I were involved was a perfect time for my career.
Mm. Well, what about Sheffield Shield back then, Brad? A lot is made of Sheffield Shield cricket now, and with enough value was placed on Sheffield Shield cricket. But back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when you broke into the New South Wales team, Shield cricket was everything, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was ruthless. Especially the games you have at Queensland, for example. Traditionally, New South Wales would go up there and be home in 3 days with a loss to Queensland, and then they'd come back down and would have our own SCG turning wicket that would embarrass them on the return leg. But no, it was back when we were growing up, it was all about you had to earn your right in Shield cricket to get to the Australian team. And there were so many good players around at the time. I started in the era where Michael Bevan was trying to make his way into the Australian team, averaging 90 at the SCG and still couldn't get a run. Brett Lee was bowling 160 Ks in Shield games, putting the fear of life into everyone. waiting to get picked. So it, back then, it was pretty cutthroat.
Mm, it was cutthroat, but it happened for you quickly. You're playing for Australia in your ODI debut, 30th of January 2001 against Zimbabwe. Do you remember that day? Do you remember the feelings you had in representing your country?
Yeah, I think if I look back on it, then I don't think I was quite ready to play for Australia. I didn't quite understand my game, but I enjoyed that moment. I had the likes of Warne. I'd pond in giving it to Andy Flower the whole time, which was an eye opener. But it was a great experience. But I think I wasn't really ready. I was picked very young. I think on potential just to have a look at me, but it also gave me a great insight to what I needed to do, the behaviours I needed to change from a training point of view to get there. So it was a great learning experience, and I took a lot from it, but I don't think I was ready to play for Australia then.
Well, on that theme then, Brad, what did you change, and when did you feel comfortable in the national squad?
Yeah, I think it was probably about when I was about 25, when I understood my game a lot better. I had a lot of success in state cricket from 25 to onwards, and I understood what worked for me, what I could bring to the team, the intensity that you needed to train in, and probably the most important thing was turning up to training every day, trying to be a better athlete. And that's what you have to do to get picked to play for Australia. You've got to find a way every day to better yourself. And I think just being around those guys and looking at the way they prepared, the way they enjoyed themselves after the game when they won, it's also an important thing. But the main thing was making sure I turned up every day to try to better myself. And when I stopped that feeling, that was the day I gave the game away.
Yeah. Talked about players who earned their right. You were 30 when you made your test debut, and there's a reason for that, and the reason's name is Adam Gilchrist, who is arguably the greatest of all time. How difficult was it? Because at different stages, there was Wade Seckham, I think, that you and he were engaged in it, just to be the number two behind Gilchrist. How hard is it to maintain motivation when you're not getting that ultimate prize?
Oh, it wasn't hard at all. I had to realise from an early age that I might have never got the opportunity to play for Australia, because I didn't know how long Adam was going to go on. And back those days, you thought your career was done in your early 30s and things like that. So I was pretty realistic. I actually took Adam out of the equation. I never really worried about if I was going to get an opportunity to play test cricket or anything. All I worried about was trying to be the best cricketer I could. And if the opportunity ever arose to play test cricket, I wanted to make sure I was the obvious choice. And I think that happened. When Adam retired, there was no talk about who was going to go into the team. It was, I remember him giving me a phone call and saying, "I'm about to retire today. Get ready." So
Wow.
My big thing was making sure that when the time came, there was no second choice, and my performances has put me as the obvious choice.
It's interesting you say that, Brad, because like we see when Warne retired, a lot of spinners were labelled the next Warne, and the pressure got too much for them. But you seem to be able to disassociate yourself from that pressure of following on from a great like Adam Gilchrist.
Yeah, I think I had to. And if I didn't, I would have been sitting in the corner rocking backwards and forwards, to be honest. I never thought about... I thought about making sure I was the best I possibly could and push Adam on performance. But I was realistic as well. He was arguably, if we sit around the bar, we could argue that he was one of the best cricketers ever to play the game. So if I worried too much about what other people were doing, I don't think I would have got the results out of my career I did. So I learnt from a really young age, and I think that's probably the way you're brought up as well, is making sure I can be the best I can. Yes, try to challenge the people in front of you to push their performance, but I never worried about who was in front of me. It was all about making sure I could compete at New South Wales and win competitions. That's what I was brought up to do, about how to win competitions and make sure, as I said before, my mindset was, I've just got to be the best I can. I can't worry about what everyone else wants and everyone else thinks, because I think we've seen that a bit with the spinners that have come through. Everyone's compared them to Warnie.
Yeah.
And I think that's affected a lot of our young spinners. But from my point of view, I could only be the best version of myself.
Good advice, yeah.
May 22, 2008, it happens. Kingston, Jamaica, you become Australian Test player number 400. But there's a story behind that too, because things didn't go to plan early on, Brad.
No, they didn't. I remember receiving McCap off the great Ricky Ponting, which was a great honour, and my family was sitting up in the stands. I think my brothers were enjoying the Jamaican rum more than most.
Sounds about right.
and Dad was sitting there not moving. But it was about the second over in, and Mitchell Johnson was in one of those spells where he got a bit excited and he was spraying him around it a bit, and I was sharing his excitement also, and I thought I could dive in front of Fighting League and stop one. And I dived, and it clipped the top of my ring finger, and I thought, oh, no, what's that feel like? 10 seconds later, you know if you've broken a finger. And I know I've broken a finger. So I looked at Huss and said, oh, I've busted my finger, Huss, thinking, yeah, I'll get some sympathy. He said, I'm not keeping. his first words said it. So, yeah, it was just one of those things. And talking to Dad later, he was sitting there, and no one else noticed, and Dad just turned to Mum and my wife at the time. He said, oh, Brad's just busted his finger.
Mm.
And they said, what do you mean? He said, I'm telling you, he's just busted his finger. But that was part of it, being a Test cricketer. You didn't want to give anyone an opportunity. I'd waited 10 years for my chance. And the wicket-keeping position, you have to be born into it.
Mm.
If you give someone a go and they do well, that can be a 10-year position. So
yeah.
I just had to suck it up and play the next three tests because I knew Huss wasn't going to help me.
Exactly, yeah. Well, what about keeping behind? You mentioned Mitchell Johnson, who must have been just awesome to keep against at his peak. Brett Lee bowling at 160 km. Who's the most difficult bowler that you've kept to?
I think the bowler that I enjoyed the most and I think turned me into the keeper I was Stuart McGill.
Yeah, right.
I think a lot of keepers are judged on how well they stand up to the stumps.
Yep.
And in the early days at the SCG, you had to be on it. You're in the game every ball from McGill, especially the last 3 or 4 days of the game, the way he turned them and what he could do to opposition. So I had to be good up to the stumps because that you were from Sydney. A lot of our bowlers were spin bowlers, our great ones. We had some great ones at the time, but Stuart McGill was the one that challenged me in more ways than any. So I had to become really good at him, and you never wanted to miss the chance of McGill or anyway.
Yeah. Mm.
You'd hear about it.
Oh, really? Okay. Back in the dressing room afterwards.
What about the test days that were not so good? And I'm talking, there was a particular day in the Ashes series of 2009. I think Mitch Johnson was at his spraying him around everywhere. And you had a tough day behind the stumps, plenty of buys. And how do you respond to that, knowing that you're in the spotlight? Everyone's taking note of what you're doing or not doing behind the stumps.
Yeah, it was one of those days. You had that quicksand feeling. No matter what you're trying to do, the worst things got. Mitch was spraying them. I couldn't quite reach them. They were going down as byes, and we were all having one of those days. And I remember walking back in the change room. The media guy at the time said, oh, who's going to do media? And I said, I'll do it. So I went in the press conference, and before they got their first question out, I said, well, that was one of my worst days I've had. So, and they sort of all looked at me and went, I've got no more questions.
Mm.
He's just owned what he's done.
Mm.
And as I walked out, I remember him saying, thanks for that. Like, thanks for aiming up and coming out. And that's part of Test cricket as well. You can be in this bubble sometimes, but sometimes you just got to put your hand up and say, you know what, I've had a bad day. It's not the end of the world. But I'll get better tomorrow. But today I had a bad day.
It's interesting. And does that apply to the team ethos as well, Brad? And the reason I say that is because I'm just thinking of the 2013-14 Ashes summer when Australia turned it all around against England. You had a fantastic series.
Mm.
But going into that series, England had been dominant back in England just a few months earlier.
They had been dominant. But we'd found some cracks that we thought we could expose in England. We just weren't good enough to hold those big moments for long enough. Right. England broke us a couple of times in those moments. And we thought, I remember coming to Australia, I remember Darren Lehman had just been in the job that first series in England and said, listen, there's a lot of cracks inside this team. We've just got to start understanding and winning those big moments. And if we can do that, we had a pretty good feeling that we could break them, break their inner sanctum. And what happened in the end was one of the most enjoyable months of anyone's life. So, yeah, it was a lot of work went into that series. I don't know if you remember, there's a one-day series leading into the Ashes in England where Mitchell Johnson went after Trott with short balls.
That's right.
And we exposed a few things there. Then we sort of kept that to ourselves coming into the Australian summer, then let loose in that first test at the Gabba, and the rest is history.
Yeah, Trott went home, didn't he, I think, after the first test?
I think he might have. Mm. Do you recall what you were saying to Gary Balance, the middle-order batsman, when he was hit on the head by Mitchell Johnson in the Sydney Test match, Brad?
If you prompt my memory, I probably can remember.
From what I understand, that you were saying to him as he stood there quite shaken, having to face Mitchell Johnson again, you were saying, yes, I know, it's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember Mitch, I think, got him one on the grill. We went up and checked if he's all right, and he said, oh, yeah. And I said, listen, this is no place to be. Like, Mitch is not going to let up. I said, the easiest way to do is play a stupid shot at lino from the other end. It's a lot safer. And he nicked the ball a couple of overs later from lino. So, mate, we went through that series. We had to face Mitchell in the net. And mate, he was one of those, like, off the field. He was a menace on the field, but off the field, he was one of those guys that he didn't want to hurt you, didn't want to hit you in the nets. And he'd say, oh, I won't bounce you today. And the worst thing was, when he said, I'm not going to bounce you, is he started to think too much and he didn't want Mitch to think. He just said, Mitch, just bowl. Because he'd be thinking, don't bowl short, don't bowl short, don't bowl short, then woof, straight over your head. So, no, we had to face him in the nets. It was terrorizing.
He would have been.
I want to ask you one last thing before we let you go for a... There's not many people who would say no to being the Australian Test cricket captain. Mm. You did it. Can you give us the circumstances of it?
Yeah, it was. It was just after we'd won in Adelaide against India. It was the first test after Phil Hughes had passed. Michael got injured. I captained the last session, and I'd like to be remembered for that. We took 7 wickets in and we came from nowhere to win it. But there was a lot of talk that Michael, he was gone with his hamstring, he's going to be out for the rest of the series. And I remember seeing Mark Taylor in the bar and said, Tubby, I was vice captain at the time. I said, there's no point putting me captain. I'm not here for that much longer. Steve Smith, I think, is your obvious choice. And I think he needs some help with some senior players around him anyway. So I won't be offended if you give him the captaincy, because I think it's the right thing to the Australian cricket team. And he said, no worries. He said, rung me the next day and said, thanks for that, and Steve Smith's the captain. But I wasn't the right choice. I would have done a good job for a couple of days, but we needed a long-term plan with Cricket Australia, and Steve Smith was that, and I was only there for a short time. So I could help him in the short term, but it wasn't the right thing for Australian cricket.
Yeah, putting the team first. Well done, Brad. Hey, Brad, probably a difficult question to answer, but I think a lot of Australian cricket supporters would love to know. Steve Smith, Davey Warner, Cam Bancroft, particularly Smith and Warner, back for the Ashes?
Yeah, there's a process at the moment they're all going through. I think if that all goes to plan, I think everyone wants them back. Everyone's made mistakes in life. We all have, but I think at the end of the day, if you can come back and you become a better person from that, and their cricket's, up to where it needs to be, and they've still got that hunger to leave Australian cricket in a better place, then I think they'll come back with open arms.
Brad, big day today at the SCG. Let's hope there's plenty of action and the rain stays away. Really appreciate your time on a busy morning for you. I'm sure the listeners would have appreciated it as well. Good luck again for today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Brad.
There he is, Brad Haddon. He is our legend of the game today. We better take a break. We're running overtime, right? We always do it with our legends. Sorry.
Okay, Lano, what are we calling it?
How about this, Mum? The Bingley This Only Happens Once a Year Absolutely Massive Deals.
Hurry up.
On a huge range of the world's leading brands in everything from fridges and washers to TVs, computers and Bluetooth speakers.
I've got to go now.
At prices you won't believe sale.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
But, Mum, this year's sale is bigger than big.
The Bingley Bigger Than Big Sale. Done.
Mum?
Lano.
The Bigger Than Big Sale. On now at Bingley.
It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm on Inglis Millennium Day, Saturday, February 9. Be trackside for Sydney's first million-dollar race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million Inglis Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million Inglis Sprint and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Phil's chasing, he can't get there. This will win the game for Canberra. They have come back from the dead. Michael Francoso rolls his helmet.
It is absolute pandemonium here at MIT Ballpark.
Canberra win 10-9.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, well, that's the ABL that was apparently it's on at the moment. So there you go, 1353. No doubt about panel operator Hamish. You can find an obscure sport.
There is
so much high-profile sport going on, and we've got the ABL on from Friday night. 1353-53, the
overline.
It
was pandemonium.
It was,
exactly, yeah.
Of course it was. I mean, we all saw that on Friday and thought the exact same thing. It was pandemonium. Happy New Year, Jimmy and Ray. Did Ray brush the Perth Cup, or Jimmy wouldn't let one more replay through? Regards, Eagle Eye Phil. He doesn't miss much.
I think Eagle Eye Phil nailed that one.
He doesn't miss much, Eagle Eye Phil. Welcome to the New Year show, team. Wouldn't be the same without you all, even you, Jimmy. That's from Judy. Thank you, Judy. I do appreciate that. We do appreciate that. Yeah, the team is back, including a key member of the team for the first time in 2019. We say good morning to Tan with the scratchings around New South Wales.
And I'm off to a big bang here, starting with the scratchings for the year. Well, get ready, folks. Here they come.
You're driving the ship on your own today, Tan. You're the boss.
Oh,
the boss today.
Don't you forget it either.
Hang on. Boss today.
Oh, boss.
Racing in New South Wales today, folks, is at Gilgandra and Mwillimba. We'll start with Gilgandra. The weather is hot. The track, a good three, the rail true, and there are nine scratchings. The first race is clear. Race two, take out number two, Ultimate Magic, five, Southern Strategy, eight, Goodies Gal, and 14, Kenneth. 2, 5, 8, and 4, 14. Race three is clear. Race four, take out two, Happens No More, number two. Race five, number six, Atalie, number six. Races six and seven are clear. And race eight, take out four, Freedom Fighter, six, Key Factor, and 14, Belle A Trait, 4, 6, and 14 out of race eight at Gilgandra. Mwillimba, the weather is fine, the track a good three, the rail true, and 20 scratchings. Race one, take out five, Smooth Console, and six, Spiral, five and six. Race two, number eight, Expert Reply, number eight. Out of race three, number eight, Star Adele, and nine, Nakanai, eight and nine. Race four, number one, West Rock, and six, Cedar Rapids, one and six. Out of race five, number four, Lake Hillier, six, Strada Grande, nine, Boom Girl, 11, True Quality, and 15, Skilago, 4, 6, 9, 11, and 15. Race 6, take out 3, Galliano, 10, Astronomic, 14, Miss Honeyflow, and 16, Bakur, 3, 10, 14, and 16 out of race 6. And race 7, number 1, Hashtag Hero, 3, Only Ever Annie, 5, Slug's Nephew Johnny, and 8, Tinder, 1, 3, 5, and 8 out of race 7 at Mwillimba.
So we've had to swipe left there
Tinder. Yeah, thanks, Dan. Gilgandra Cup Day, two tips there. Race 5, number 4, A Martin Place Pick. Race 5, number 4, A Martin Place Pick. Into race 6, number 1, Miss Hugo Agogo. Go, you good thing. Then on to Mwillimba, race 3, number 5, 10 Tabatas. Hopefully we'll ask Matty Dunn shortly if he thinks 10 Tabatas can win. Very hard to beat. Race 7, number 2, Ivy's Dream.
There we go, Raymond. Well done. The first tips of 2019. Let's hope they're a lot better than the 2018 version. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
Well, at least you're informed for 2019. You're right back.
1353 53 is the open line number. We've got our predictions, and to get us into the predictions, Raymond, we're sharing the screen today. The other way. Thank you. There we go. Morning, boys, and happy New Year. South Sydney to produce 4 representatives for State of Origin this year. Gagai and GI for the Maroons. Cookie and the number 13 bolter, Cam Murray. Bunnies to make the 4, and then it's anyone's guess. Cheers. That's from Marathon from Mayfield.
Cam Murray?
Cam, a very good player. Geez, a good player.
And this is from Michelle from Dubbo. Happy New Year. All the very best to all the BSB Weekend Radio family. My prediction, the men in purple will finally crack the BBL.
They're a good side.
Go the cane. Matty Dale will pull a winner out of the stable to take out the Golden Eagle. Matty
Dale.
And BSB Weekend will continue to give us a good oil and giggles, every Sunday. I hope she's right. So,
I hope she is too. Michelle from Dubbo, good on you. We appreciate that. One of our favourite listeners, if you can have that. Yeah, we can. Yeah, not all listeners are created equal, are they, Ray?
Correct.
1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. After the news, we've got Robbie Dolan, we've got Ronnie Quinton, we've got Matty Dunn, we've got Brad Rosen, and we've got the quiz 2 score update.
It's nil all, James.
Got to start somewhere.
I'm Sarah Warmby. A day after stemming violence on St Kilda's foreshore between right-wing extremists and anti-racism campaigners, police will have a strong presence at another Melbourne event. Officers will patrol the Lunar New Year Festival in St Albans today to prevent anti-social behaviour. A Victorian mayor says St Kilda's reputation as a popular tourist destination will not be tarnished by the rallies. Dick Ross, the mayor of Port Phillip Council, says they celebrate diversity and inclusion.
These incidents will always and legitimately make headlines. This is an example of racial hatred that will inevitably attract headlines, but it will not define St Kilda.
A driver has been shot in the leg and has had his arm slashed with a knife during an attempted robbery in Sydney's west. Police say the 24-year-old was sitting in his car on Hawkesview Street in Merrylands just after 7:30 last night when 3 men walked up. One man armed with a knife jumped into his passenger seat and demanded his phone and wallet. The driver fought off the intruder, but his arm was cut and he was shot in the leg during the struggle. He drove away and flagged down a passing motorist who took him to hospital where he remains in a stable condition. Police said they believe the attack was targeted. 2 16-year-old boys have been charged after rocks were thrown at cars on a Perth freeway, one smashing through a windscreen and hitting a man in the chest. 14 people reported damage to their vehicles when rocks were thrown on the Kwinana Freeway at Coburn Central about 11:30 on Friday night. One rock went through the windscreen of a Toyota Camry, hitting a 55-year-old man sitting in the front passenger seat. He was treated at Fiona Stanley Hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Yesterday afternoon, police charged the 2 boys, each with 14 counts of an unlawful act with intent to harm and 14 counts of criminal damage. The US government remains in partial shutdown as a meeting of key officials ended without any apparent compromise. US President Donald Trump has threatened to declare a national emergency to get his promised wall built. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
US President Donald Trump insisted in a series of tweets that the federal government shutdown would end just as soon as the Democrats approve real border security, including his wall. He then cited all sorts of questionable statistics on why the wall is needed. A team, including U.S. Vice President Mike Pence, met with congressional negotiators with little apparent progress. Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi is sticking to her position. A wall is a waste of money and immoral. While the political reality is that most in Washington recognize a wall doesn't even make the top 10 list of policies to solve immigration problems. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Briefly, 3 men have been fatally shot and 4 injured when a brawl at a California bowling alley and karaoke bar erupted into gunfire. The spiritual head of Orthodox Christians worldwide has formally granted independence to the Ukrainian church, marking an historic split from Russia, which Ukrainian leaders see as vital to the country's security. And French yellow vest protesters have marched through Paris and other cities in protest against high living costs and the perceived indifference of President Emmanuel Macron. This is Air News. An 86th minute goal from Oilo Toivonen has had a Melbourne victory, a 2-1 win over Western Sydney to extend their unbeaten run to a ninth game. An improved Wanderers outfit appeared to have earned a share of the points yesterday when German star Alex Bamihan's second half penalty cancelled out Toivonen's opener. The win lifts victory to top spot on the A-League ladder alongside Sydney FC and Perth. Earlier, Adelaide United were held to a goalless draw by a spirited Wellington Phoenix. In the NBL, the Sydney Kings have gone down to the Illawarra Hawks in Wollongong. Craig Wright has more.
The Sydney Kings travelled down the M1 highway to visit the Illawarra Hawks in round 12 NBL action on Saturday. In front of just over 4,000 fans, the home side got the job done 78-71, thanks to Tim Conrad with 18 points and Brian Conklin, who scored a 17-point, 12-rebound double, including 11 defensive boards for the Hawks. Sydney's captain Kevin Lish collected a game-high 19 points, while Jerome Randall scored 13. The loss keeps the Kings in second place for now, pending the outcome of the Brisbane Bullets versus Melbourne United game. Craig Wright for Airsport.
Australia have reached 6 for 236 at stumps on day 3 of the fourth test at the SCG. Pakistan made 294 against South Africa at stumps in their second innings at Newlands Cricket Ground. And the Wild Boars junior football team, who were trapped in a Thai cave for over 2 weeks, will be guests of honour for their nation's Asia Cup clash against India. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The IKEA clearance is almost over. Shop online or hurry into IKEA Tempe, Rhodes or Marsden Park today for final markdowns. Only while stocks last, IKEA clearance ends today. In Ku'ring'ai Chase, look out for a fallen tree on General San Martin Drive. In Greenacre, we've got a building on fire on Roberts Road near Rawson Road. Emergency crews are there. One northbound lane is closed. And a couple of lights blacked out. One in Alexandria on Wyndham Street at McAvoy Street and another in Punchbowl on Punchbowl Road at Acacia Avenue. Water is a precious resource, so we shouldn't waste it. Taking shorter showers and fully loading your dishwasher are just some ways to save it. Get more tips at sydneywater.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Summer is a great time to play catch-up, whether it's with the cricket, tennis, or on those projects around the house. Get inspired for your home reno with Wideline Windows and Doors. Whether it's awnings at Avalon, sliding windows at Seven Hills, or bifolds at Broadmeadow, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Take a closer look at the stylish range of Wideline Windows and Doors. Get started today by visiting wideline.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy, 50% chance of showers. Could be our best play today, the showers. Becoming less likely late this afternoon and evening.
Pat Cummins will be.
Yeah, he's a star. Yeah. Winds southerly 20 to 30 k's, reaching up to 40 k's along the coast in the morning, then turning southeasterly late afternoon, heading for a top temperature of 23 degrees. A cool Sydney Sunday afternoon coming up, James. What about the current forecast of current temperature at Girraween and the forecast for Gilgandra on Gilgandra Cup Day?
Girraween today, it is presently 18 degrees, expected max of 23 as well. In Gilgandra in the state's west, it's presently 22 degrees and it's going to get a top of 35 degrees and a chance of showers as well.
St. John Jadeja picks up Marsh. Gentle delivery outside off, and Rahani does the rest.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program, the second hour of the year. Thought the first hour went okay too, Ray, so it looks like we'll keep going with that format moving forward. 1353 53 is the open line number. We've got predictions that we're looking for today. Hopefully there's more rain at the SCG. That seems to be the only way that
thing.
Australia might be able to salvage something out of this test match. You make a really good point, though, and that is what have been the positives that you could find for Australia in this test, in this test series, and there are a couple there.
Cummins and Lyon have been fantastic.
Yeah.
I think they've been great. I think Marcus Harris has shown a bit of promise. Jimmy, as I said earlier, learn to make those starts into big scores.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a big hour coming up. Robbie Dolan very shortly. Ronnie Quinton will have the quiz for this first one of the year. Matty Dunn will be on, and Brad Rosen. So we're pretty busy. But just before we go to that, let's get some of the feedback we're getting on SMS. And if you want to send us an SMS in 2019, do it on this number, 0419 767 272. Tim Payne's captaincy is pretty ordinary. His fields placing and rotation of the bowlers is disgraceful and not up to a test captain. But that's okay, because he's such a nice bloke, and we now have a nice team. Bring back the team that gives it to the other team, just like Kohli and India do. But that's all right for them to do it, but not Australia. That's from Rooster Bob. Interesting sentiments there, right?
Yeah. It caught me in a rock and a hard place, aren't they, the Australians? If they show any sort of aggro at all, they're going to get hammered for it. And if they don't, people are saying, well, show some. So getting that balance right is so difficult for him at the moment.
Predictions for 2019. Jason Day to win the Masters. South to finish top four, then win the grand final. The NRL to finally have a female ref control a first grade game.
Could
no name
happen?
On that one.
Could that happen, Jim?
It could.
Happens in the AFL. So.
Yeah, it could. And then this one. Happy New Year to Team Tanya and Jimmy. What odds are on the offer on the quiz, Scooter? Yeah, I think I'm into $1.60 now.
Jeez, you are. Backing yourself, aren't you? Well, you're coming off a pretty solid win last start.
Solid? Dominant.
I tell you what, I had a solid day yesterday. I had a terrific day. It was an emerging apprentice, former Robbie Dolan. His first Sydney Saturday double on Easy Eddie and Gresham. He's right on Gresham. It was terrific, Jim. Just hugged the rails.
Yeah.
Got the inside run. Sort of terrific story about him as well. He's been good enough to join us this morning. Robbie, good morning. Congratulations. And I mentioned the ride on Gresham. You took the inside run inside Sir Plush. If you had to go around Sir Plush, do you think he could have still won the race?
Yeah, look, that's one thing that we'll probably never know, but I think I would have still won.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And Rob, what about those situations within races? And I guess this is where you draw on your experience about, okay, what's the right thing to do? The right thing to do yesterday was not do anything and stay where you are. But I guess that's what experience is all about.
Yeah, and it's one thing you probably it can't really teach is patience. And it's just been drilled into me since I've started. Just have that little bit extra patience and. Thankfully, yesterday I was rewarded for it.
Well, interesting you say that, Rob, because every speed map and every form judge had Easy Eddie leading easily in race two, but a couple of horses wanted to take you on, particularly Ever So Natural. You had no issue just easing back in behind that horse.
Yeah, I had no problem. The last day I rode him at Warwick Farm, the Beyond Baker horse went out very quick in front, and Easy Eddie was gunning him down late, and he gave me a lovely feeling, so I wasn't too panicked when the other horses passed me. I was just hoping that I could get out and get a bit of clear running, and thankfully when I did, he was really strong then.
And I believe you've got the ride for Easy Eddie on the Takeover Target Stakes, which is the next race on the program for Joe Pride, January 17. I think that'll be your first listed ride too. So there's exciting times, Rob. The decision to come up to Sydney is starting to pay dividends.
Yeah, look, I was very happy when they said I could keep the ride on the horse. He's a real nice progressive horse. And look, before he even ran it at Warwick Farm, Joe said to me, look, he's going to be in at the Takeover Target. And he said, if you can win these next two races, we'll keep you on. So there was always that little bit extra pressure.
Well, you came through with flying colours. Congratulations. Good luck in the Takeover Target. Hey, Robbie, your story is interesting because you were telling me yesterday you started riding in Ireland. You had about 80 rides. You were based at the Curra. You basically gave everything away and flew to Australia by chance. What was the thought processes behind that move?
Yeah, look, it was a big decision to make. A friend recommended me to come over here, and I kind of weighed up my options. A lot of people said, "Oh, you know, you're only starting." Like, I wasn't doing very well in Ireland, but I had 5 winners, and I was just starting to not get going, but I was starting to, you know, get in with a couple of camps and just getting a little bit of a name for myself. And everyone was saying to me, oh, you're going to throw it all away. But I always had that little belief in myself that I could, if I could just get a fair crack, that I could just make something of myself. And thankfully, it's all paying off now.
Mm-hmm. Why Melbourne? And what was happening or not happening in Melbourne that encouraged you to come to Sydney?
So initially, when I went to Melbourne, it's because John Sadler, I went to John Sadler, and Thomas, John's son, he's a jockey, and he's frequently visited, frequently visits Ireland, and he was using the same apprentice jockey coach as me. Warren O'Connor was his name, and Warren just introduced me to Tom, and we got chatting, and sure enough, eventually when I did decide to go to Australia, that was the first person I rang, because it was the only person I knew in Australia.
Right.
The only person that I knew in Australia, and I rang him, and I said, look, would you be able to get me a job? Mm-hmm. So that's where it all started. So I came to Australia with nothing, to be honest. A suitcase, no money, nothing, just a dream, really. And started working for John, and John was very, very good to me. I was only there for a month, but he taught me all how to ride the clock and the times, and looked after me very well when I was there. And look, when I couldn't get the apprentice license, I didn't think it was the end. I thought it was the end of my time there. I had to go somewhere else. And I think they told me on the Friday I couldn't get my license, and then on the Monday I flew to Sydney. So it was pretty quick now. Turnover. Mm. When I flew up to Sydney, I had nothing again. I just kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do, and I stayed on a friend's couch for a few days, living out of my suitcase. And eventually, I bumped into Mark. A friend introduced me to Mark, and wrote a couple of lots for Mark in the morning, and just went from there.
No, it certainly worked out. And just finally, what were the differences between racing in Australia and Sydney, say, back home in Ireland?
Yeah, look, over here they jump and they get their positions very quick. In Ireland, maybe not so much. They'll jump and they'll lob for a furlong, mm-hmm. and then gradually get their positions, and then they'll slowly start to pick up into the race, and then it'll be probably the fittest horse and the best horse will win the race there most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you know, they jump and boom, straight into position, and it all kind of depends on the leader and the second horse and what way the race is going to pan out. Sometimes they'll crawl, and it could set up for front running horses to win, or sometimes they'll go very quick and you'll see horses come from the back. But in Ireland, it's just a lot of the time, the best horse will win.
It's very tactical here, isn't it?
So. Yeah, it's very tactical.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Rob. Outstanding day yesterday. Yeah. Congratulations on those two wins. Good luck with the takeover target, and thank you very much for your time on a Sunday morning.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Robbie.
There he is, Robbie Dolan. He's a nice young fellow, doesn't he? Thoughtful about his riding.
Jeez, it was a gamble, wasn't it? Came to Australia just a suitcase,
isn't it?
You know, he had to back himself, and isn't that fantastic? It's making it work for him. So congratulations. Just 22 years old, very bright future, Jim.
Going really well. Big shum from Manila here. What would you give for the unders overs on how many times Jimmy will rev up Stuart Clark and or Robbie Slater on a call this year? And thanks to Ray for the tips yesterday. Rolled Easy Eddie into La Scopa to add a bit of value.
Good move.
Good work. Mm. Just on that, Eagle Eye Phil says, lots of syllables in Ray's tips today. Hopefully he gets back to 2017 form.
Doesn't miss anything, Eagle Eye Phil, does he?
I actually think it's spot on there, Eagle Eye Phil. Boys, predictions for 2019. Yeah, we're looking for your predictions for this morning. Ray will win the quiz by 5 with conspiracy claims by Jimmy. Tanya will slowly get more and more airtime to the point that Jimmy will be doing the scratching. That's from Donkey. Donkey, that's a very good
You're the smart.
Thank you, I know, you're right. A
couple asterisks there for Donkey, I can see.
What do they say? If you're looking for the mark in the room and you can't find it, You're the mark. 1353 is the open line number. Anthony is there. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning. Welcome to 2009.
Yeah, and same to you, Andy. All the best for New Year, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, Jimmy, I agree. Before I give you predictions, I agree with 90% of your opinions. But I noticed you conveniently skimmed past the rest and rotation of Pat Cummins and Mitchell Stark from the one-day squad earlier. No scapegoat to blame?
Actually, I did look at that yesterday and I thought, oh, okay.
It's purely simply for Sri Lankan series.
That's right. Yeah. And I, you know what? I understand.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of bowling.
The scheduling is very different to previous years where Sydney was the last test. We've still got two tests to play.
And if you look at it, Anthony, gee, those fast bowlers have had a lot of bowling in the series, haven't they?
Yeah. I just made a point. Anyway, my prediction.
Yeah.
But Jimmy, don't take it. Like, you know, I just like to see things through their lenses rather than.
No, it's good, Anthony. Everyone's got opinions. It's good. So.
Some of them are wrong.
No, everyone's entitled to an opinion.
I'm joking.
Well, 90% of the time, 10% of the time, you're wrong. This time, you're wrong.
Well done, Anthony. Three asterisks next to Anthony here, Jimmy.
Yeah. Don't take this call again.
You can't
I think that Corey Norman will be the buy of the year, but not only because of his form of 5'8", but the form that Brad Widdup will show a fullback for him being a 5'8".
Brad Widdup?
Sorry, what's his name? The
horse trainer?
No, what's his name? The 5'8"?
Well, Gareth.
The former Gareth, the Widdup will be like Corey Norman will help that as well, so that's why he'll be the buy of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He'll help the spine.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of hopes more than. Well, Scotty Johnson will lift the Wallabies form.
Yes.
Alizé will be the star of the autumn. And given a chance, G. Maxwell will be the star of the Ashes. I can't believe he hasn't played a test in Australia yet. That's ridiculous.
Will they pick him for England?
I'll tell you what he's done. He said, I don't want to play in the IPL where he could win, he could win, earn $1 million US.
He's giving himself
and he said,
chance.
No, I'm going to go and play county cricket.
Mm.
And if you can count that to Steve Smith, who played the IPL every year as Australian captain and then used the Australian International Series for his rest time, compared to Glenn Maxwell, who's prepared to give up the money, give him a chance, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, there you go, 90%, there you go. I agree with that one, Anthony. I think Corey Norman will be good. I think Corey Norman will be good at the Dragons.
It's interesting because Zorb doesn't think so, but he's got that relationship with Ben Hunt from their Broncos days and he adds that bit of flair that the Dragons need.
I agree with you. Rod's on the line. G'day, Rod.
Hi, Jimmy.
Very well, mate.
Morning, Rod. Happy New Year, mate.
You too. Predictions?
Yes.
I'll go with you, Ray Thomas. I reckon that it'll be a Collingwood-Melbourne grand final in the AFL.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think that Collingwood are going to improve.
Yeah.
And Melbourne are going to improve as well.
Yeah.
Rugby League, I hate to say this. God, I hate this year.
Roosters
back-to-back. God, that annoys me. It's just hard to sing the same on Sunday morning.
No, well done, Rod.
No,
and number three, it's sort of a hope, but hopefully that Renault car can be a lot good, at least a decent car, and at least
more competitive.
Match Red Bull, maybe get a podium or two.
Yeah,
and
more competitive. Yeah.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Thanks the other day for mentioning my name. Am I getting that book or what?
Yeah, are you getting a book? Are you getting a Ray Thomas Winks book?
You haven't got my address.
That's okay. We're not going to send it out this week. You know, these things can take time, Rod.
Stay on the line, Rod. And you'll get the address.
So Rod provided us a talk topic during the week.
Okay.
He said that Nick Kyrgios was very frustrating as an athlete, and we said,
frustrating athletes.
So Rod was first call. Just stay on the line, Rod, and I hope you're listening to this. Hi, boys. My prediction is that the Sharks will be stripped of their 2016 premiership after the salary cap investigation. Rod, you can turn the porch light back on. That's from Phil the Dragon. So take it with a grain of salt, Rod. Take it with a grain of salt. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Ronnie Quinton.
Mum, the deals at the Bingley Bigger Than Big Sale are unheard of.
Okay, I'm listening.
Save up to $300 on Miele dishwashers, save up to $700 on top mount, bottom mount and French door fridges, get a Hitachi 415-litre top mount fridge for just $5.99, get a Bosch 8-kilo washer for just $6.99, or a Hire 8.5-kilo washer for just $3.99.
They're not unheard of now.
Bigger Than Big Sale on now at Bingley.
Look, I'm afraid I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is hard. I have to move on. guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
True enough, still in front. Rondinella's a half length away. Oh, he's got three for the day as J Mac. And true enough, beat Rondinella.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
When the on-air comes back on, Jimmy. Oh, how many years have we been doing this?
10, apparently.
Yeah, we still get it wrong.
I thought 2019, you know, we'll be much more professional this year, Ray.
Seriously.
We're a team.
One team?
Yeah.
As I said. We still get it so wrong. This man very rarely, if ever, gets it wrong.
Got it right
yesterday. He was 100% right yesterday. Did we decide on what it was? We'll go with Darren Flindell.
Lundberg.
We'll ask Ronnie Quinton how to pronounce
Lundberg.
It. He's on the line. Good morning, Ron. And did Darren Flindell get it right? Is it Ljungberg?
Yeah, it's
Ljungberg. See, silent G.
You were right, Raymond.
Because I spoke to Ronnie during the week, yeah. Well, gee, he was very good yesterday, Ron, and I guess the first question we have to ask, is he going to the Magic Millions?
No.
Okay. You're staying by that comment yesterday. You just the quick backup, not his go.
Yeah, no, look, we decided, myself and the owners, a couple of weeks ago that... we wouldn't worry about it. Ray Gall, the managing owner, said, look, just don't worry about that. Just try and make him a nice horse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we just thought that maybe rushing him away up there, only running yesterday, would be not in his favour, really. So we think we've probably got a nice horse, and I was very pleasantly surprised with his performance yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought he had a great chance, but I didn't think he'd put him away like that as well as he did, you know?
Well, that was going to be my question, Ronnie. You might have thought he could win. Could he win in such a commanding fashion? And has that changed what you think might be in the future for Ljungberg?
I believe that on yesterday's performance, that I think one day he'll end up winning a nice sprint race somewhere.
Mm.
So, that was a pretty dominant win yesterday.
It was, yeah. You were mentioning yesterday after the race, Ron, you put a lot of work into this horse trying to help him to settle because early in his career he wanted to over-race and do things in a hurry, basically. How have you managed to sort of curb his racing manners?
Yeah, well, first of all, we gelded him.
That'll work.
He was a little bit of a larrikin, but once we gelded him, he'd become a different horse. And then, a lot of patience and, riding in work. And also in the barrier trials, we were teaching him to relax and settle and hit the line. And, like, his mother was only a 5-furlong horse. And of course, a lot of the Iron Invincibles got a tremendous speed. But this guy has got the speed because he did run there at Canterbury one day and he sort of basically was up front and they run the first three in about 33. So they can't, if they run the first three in 33, they're not going to run the last three in 33. So we've taught him to settle and he settled beautifully. And his last two runs, he's got two really nice rides from the jockeys, albeit a little bit wide, but I don't play as much importance upon that as a lot of people do.
Mm. Hey, Ronnie, I'm just thinking that the manner of the win, which we've spoken about, the fact over 1,300 metres, the 3-year-old gelding...
Into a
4-year-old. Mm. So if you're looking for spring later this year, would something like the Golden Eagle over 1,400 metres be an option? A long way down the track, obviously. Mm.
Oh, exactly. So, no, we'll be weighing up all options and just see and work out in the next week what we do. We give him another run somewhere if we find another suitable race for him somewhere.
Mm.
And, that could well be an option. And I've got that other horse too as well, that Royal Celebration. He's a horse too that could be heading that way as well.
He's a nice horse. And Ronnie, your former apprentice has kicked on a bit since he was with you, Hugh Bowman.
Yeah, I told him yesterday. I said, mate, that was a steering job. I said, I reckon you ought to be donating your 5% back, you know.
What do you say to that?
Didn't answer.
Funny about that.
But I did take him out to dinner last night. So.
There you go.
I hope he shouted.
No, he left me to do it.
Oh, right.
I will say, though, we're bagging poor Huey here, but he gave Chris Barrett, the jockey's valet, a really nice present, Ronnie, yesterday. It was a framed Winx sort of Cox plate with a four Cox plates or miniature Cox plates.
He did
just for Chris's help over the years. So.
He's been helping him for a long time, so that's very good.
Yeah, well, so we gave that to Chris, but he made Ronnie
nothing
pay for
Ronnie.
Dinner, so I don't know whether you worked that out, Ron. But thoughts on the Kensington track? Oh, there was a bit of controversy around, especially from the Warwick Farm trainers about running at Kensington. I guess given the way the horse ran, Ron, you thought it was pretty good.
I think it was a great decision.
Didn't have to go too far.
No, that's right. Nice and easy.
I just had to go over the hill, you know, so it was good.
That track should work, though, shouldn't it, Ronnie, in terms of being, if I use the expression, workhorse for Sydney racing. That's what the Kenzo is designed for, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. No doubt about it. And they've designed it to sort of be a track that handles rain and that sort of thing. And, you know, the jockeys sometimes say that they think it might be a touch firm. But and it's also a little bit of a tricky track too. Like you got that quite abrupt turn into the straight, and it's a little bit hard for the jockeys to read sometimes, because sometimes the leaders skip away around that bend, and then if they have gone too quick, well, then they get cut down. Mm. So it's a little bit tricky, and I think. You know, it's a little bit hard to fathom out sometimes.
Yeah, they'll learn as they go, though. Hey, Ronnie, look, Lundberg and Royal Celebration, as you mentioned this morning, potentially Golden Eagle horses. He was very impressive yesterday, Lundberg. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ronnie, and best of luck with both horses and the stable in 2019.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ronnie.
There he is. What a gentleman he is of the sport, isn't he? Ronnie Quinton. It's a joy for us every time we have him on the program. So congratulations. He's got a very good horse there. And maybe, just maybe, I know it's a long time away, but a horse that could be putting the hand up for the Golden Eagle. 1353 is the open line number. We'll take a break. After the break, we're doing the quiz this year.
We'll
and
mix
the prize,
it up today, Jim.
A Winx book and a sports year diary. Just a score update, Ray.
It's nil all.
It's nil all. It is nil all. And here's the, we've got, isn't it great to have Clark Griswold listening to the program? He sends in an SMS too. Happy New Year, Ray, James, and the boss, Tanya. Predicting Paul Gallen's book to be explosive, transparent, tell all, and be more controversial than Di's ride on Viander Cross. And the weather at Wally's World, as always, set to be fine and sunny all year. Regards, Clark W. Griswold. So thank you, Clark. One of our favourites here on the Big Sports Radio.
Wally, when he got back, it was close, remember that? One of the great movies.
They reckon one of the worst blokes in Hollywood.
Van Inkle.
Chevy Chase.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, one of the worst blokes in Hollywood.
There you go.
Allegedly. Okay. 1353 53, the open line number. Call now to be a part of the quiz. It's nil all.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chinwag today, as always.
Chinwag with Cossie brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky racing than any other app, exclusive race previews, and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data, and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm on Inglis Millennium Day, Saturday, February 9. Be trackside for Sydney's first million-dollar race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million Inglis Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million Inglis Sprint, and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality, and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Under it.
On
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Quiz now. You've put your hand up to be player one.
We're just mixing up in 2009.
Are you trying to conquer some phobias? Has that been one of your New Year's resolutions?
I wouldn't quite say it's a phobia.
It's a phobia,
well,
pal.
Going second didn't work for me last
year. Right.
Time,
so oh, okay. I'm
going to mix it up now.
Fair enough. Prediction. Morning, boys. Positives. I'm positive we need more runs, and I'm positive we need Smith and Warner. Cheers, Manly Manel. P.S. I'm also positive I'll love the taste of wingman. So, not many don't. Manly Manel, not many don't. Yeah, all right, Raymond.
Don't endorse that product. Okay, what's our prize again today for the quiz winner, James?
Winks book, as written by you. Still working on a reading of a few chapters, Intimate Night somewhere, and Sports Year Diary.
With Marto?
Yeah, with Marto, okay. Yeah.
Have you told Marto this?
Yes, I have.
What did he say?
He sent back a test message saying, are you serious about this? And I sent back quasi, but I actually think it could work.
Oh, I don't think you do. We'll move on. And we've got Rodney on the line. Rodney, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Happy New Year, Rodney. Hey, you know the drill, mate. Best of luck. Question number one. Which Australian batsman scored the second most all-time test runs at the SCG, but never scored a century at the ground?
Gee, that's a hard one. Mm.
Even harder to Google that one, isn't it?
Brad Haddon.
Oh,
I guess the clue there would have been you'd need to have played a lot of cricket. If you're second highest all-time test run score at the SCG but never scored a ton, we've had to play a lot. Alan Border, Rodney, the great Alan Border. So you must have got a heap of 50s and 70s and 80s.
I saw him get an 87 there one time. Remember the test after the Jeff Thompson test at the MCG?
Yeah.
I think he got 80 in both innings.
I remember was his test debut back in 77, 78, and he got 60 and 45 not out. England would turn the ball square and rolled us cheaply both times and bought a... Anyway, we'll move on.
11 times 50, apparently, at
there
SCG.
You go. Fantastic player. Here we go, Rodney. Sorry, question number two, Rodney. The Netball World Cup will be held this year in July. Which city is hosting the World Cup? It's multiple choice, Rodney. A, Liverpool. B, Leicester. C, Leeds.
We'll go Leicester.
Liverpool, as James would say.
Oh, the infrastructure there lends itself to hosting a Netball
exactly.
World Cup,
doesn't it? Here we go, Rod. We'll get back on track here, Rod.
When I think Liverpool, Ray.
I know you think Netball World Cup.
Yeah. You think Anfield? I think Netball.
Okay. Here we go, Rodney. Question number three. How many wins did the Indian men's test cricket team have in 2018? How many wins? A, was it 5, B, 7, or C, 9?
I'll go 9.
Oh. Geez, I tell you what, panel operator Hamish.
That was the early clap for the zero. That Rodney, we missed out there, but we're not out of the game yet, Rodney. It's going to be tough from here. Very tough.
So I love your positivity. Rob!
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob, this will be a walk in the park, mate. We just need one, okay?
Right.
Good luck, Rob.
Good luck. Which Australian bowler, who is fifth on the list of all-time wicket takers at the SCG, never took a 5 for an innings at the ground?
Sorry, mate, could you say that again?
It's a tough question. It's a tough question.
Which Australian bowler, who is fifth on the list of all-time test wicket takers at the SCG, actually never took a 5 for an in an innings at the ground?
Glenn McGrath.
D.K. Lilly.
He was on the money there. We're close to it.
Yeah. Question two. The FIFA Women's World Cup will be held this year in France. Who is the Matildas' first match against on June 9th? Is it A, Chile, B, France, or C, Italy?
Italy.
That'll do. Stop the fight.
That'll do. You know what? The beauty of this is, Rob, congratulations. Where do you live, Rob?
Seven Hills.
Fantastic, mate. We'll be sending you out the Winks book, as written by Ray Thomas, and the Sports Year Diary to kickstart your 2019, mate.
Ray, could you sign that for me, please?
Yeah, absolutely. But, Rob, no
would you
problem
like the
at all.
Would you like the reading? Perhaps we could do the chapter reading at home.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not far from Seven Hills, are you, Ray?
I'm not, but I don't think Rob wants that. I think Rob wants a life, not
Rob? Rob?
Come around and read the thing to him.
Do you want the reading?
Yeah, we'll do it up at the Mean Fiddler, Ray.
Yep, that's our
local.
Yeah, that's our local.
I'm seeing you up there, mate.
Oh, come and say hello, Rob. Yeah, no, we love the fiddler.
Yeah, I was telling you one day, mate. I didn't want to bother you. So
no, I never bother. Good steaks up there, aren't they, Rob?
Yeah, great. It's a great place.
That's it.
Hang on. I thought you were a Panthers man.
Well, we are, but the Fiddler's our local.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The sponsorship ended, so bang, Panthers out. Is that what you've done? 2019, Fiddler.
But it's a good pub. We've got to drag out there, Jim. Go on, Rob. Hang on the line there, mate.
Stay there, mate. Stay there. So, look, I tell you what, this is going to be tough for Ray, isn't it? He tried to mix things up a little bit. I'll go player one. Now he's lost.
So nothing's working.
I tell you what, it's a world of hurt during the course of the week.
Nothing's working.
1353-53, the open line number. Peter is there. G'day, Pete.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Pete.
My predictions are more hopes, I guess.
Yes.
I hope that the three big sports, which is racing, cricket and rugby league in Sydney, as I've grown up, my 82 years, I just like to see cricket and rugby league take a few lessons from racing. Like Peter Volandis is thinking out the square, and look what it's done in the last 12 months, 18 months in racing in New South Wales. Mm. It's been quite fantastic. Now, cricket, New South Wales has got to show Australia cricket the way, and I guess appoint someone like Jeff Lawson straight away as administrator and get the bloody game going. And rugby league, well, if it doesn't change, it's going to, it just can't have what we've got. It's got to be promotion and relegation soon, maybe 3 or 5 years, but they've got to start working at it now. It's just bumbled along. I think that's the greatest insult in my life has been the administration of rugby league. It hasn't gotten better.
Well, thought-provoking call, Peter.
On you, Pete. Appreciate that. Well, if you're a Peter Volandis fan, he's now on the ARL Commission, so having an impact there. And let's hope that it's a positive one. I agree with what he's done with racing. Introduce new concepts, thinking outside the square. Try things.
Mm.
Be prepared to get things wrong and tweak things and have to do it again.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. You tried it, you can move on.
You know, there are so many thoughts around what could be done with rugby league. The conference system, I am not opposed to. The conference system.
How would it work, though?
So the Sydney sides,
the
nine Sydney sides, and you'd have eight of them in a conference in any given year, and then the other sides. So you just get more local derbies.
Okay, so when would you play the interstate teams?
And the second part. So there's three parts to the season.
Mm-hmm.
You play a home and away, or let's say, to make it from a basic point of view, you play home games against your conference teams. You play home and away games against teams outside your conference, and then you play away games against your conference teams. And people will say, but it's not a fair draw. It's not a fair draw now. Mm. Unless you play everyone twice, home and away.
Bit like the American concept in some respects.
And it creates more interest for the Sydney clubs.
Yep.
More, and
it's got merit.
Sydney is a really challenging market.
Mm.
We know that. This comes in from Sparty and Lenny on Twitter. Don't worry about the quiz, Ray Thomas. I'm convinced that Jimmy Smith has jumped the shark. His shameless boasting on Twitter stinks of a bloke who gets to 100, then gets out for 101. The good players want 200. This is your year, Ray.
I'm back in Sparty. Great call from Sparty. They get a couple of extras.
Absolutely not. 1353-53, the open line number. Coming up next, we'll have a chat with Matty Dunn and Brad Rosen.
For all the best in racing and all the latest in sport, this is Sky Sports Radio. Coming to you via 87.6 FM Narromine, 88 FM Gulgong, 87.6 FM Braidwood and 96.9 FM Cooma. 60 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount $1,000. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 60 months interest-free, store-wide. Big brands, big savings. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until January 2024. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Just $18.95 from newsagents Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
Naval Warfare, the odds-on favourite, careering away for a big win in the New Year's Day Cup. Earth Angel holding down second, about six off the winner.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. 8:42 on your Sunday morning. And we mentioned earlier, Jim, that Matty Dunn had a terrific day yesterday. And I wasn't sure where both horses were going. Snow Village won on the Gold Coast. And his Tab Highway winner, Last Scope. Let's go to the man himself. Matt, good morning. And, well, firstly with Last Scope, really impressive yesterday. Does she keep going for now, or are you looking more towards the country championships already?
We'd probably had the country championships in mind when she came in work this preparation. She's probably got herself there a little bit quicker than what we had possibly thought.
Mm-hmm.
She's much tougher this preparation, and in the past we've sort of spaced her runs and had to look after a bit, but she's certainly coping better. But look, she arrives home tomorrow morning, and I'll give her a couple easy weeks. She can stay in the stables, but probably mainly just do beach work and that sort of thing for 2 weeks and allow her to freshen back up after a trip to Sydney. It's obviously very hot yesterday, and it's been really hot since she's been down there since Wednesday. So just assess her, but she's certainly shaped as a likely candidate for a country championship compared to other horses that we've sort of headed in that direction in past years. So, yeah, that's probably the way she'll go at this stage.
The finish, Matt, the finish, that was the thing. She just exploded away. Or, I guess the way you look at it, she was decreasing in speed at a slower rate than every other horse. But she certainly put
it's
a gap in
it. Complicated,
Jim. Well, you've told me that. But anyway, did that come as a surprise, or that's just a showcasing the fitness?
No, it's not a surprise, because she's obviously the class runner of the field. She's taken place, and I don't know how much depth was there yesterday, but you're right, her final 100 or 150 metres was the impressive part of the race. She sort of took a little while to get to her top, but once she did, she really charged away from them. And that's the way that you'd hope that she'd win. And she's obviously now at a spot where she's perfect fitness-wise, and now it's just a matter of holding her together. And whether the country championship heat at Grafton would be her next run, or she'd have one between now and then, I'll just take it that comes a little bit with her.
Yeah, well, if she gets to the final, a Randwick 1400 metres, as you said yesterday, Matt, absolutely ideal for Last Scoper. What about Snow Valley? She's 3 from 3, beautifully bred schnitzel filly, and I did a bit of homework last night. She's from the family of the great Kingston Town.
Okay, that's going a long way back.
Yeah, I think she's fourth or fifth dam is Ada Hunter, the dam of Kingston Town.
Yeah, she's got a great pedigree, and we were lucky enough to be able to buy her within our price range. And Sedge and Hill obviously kept a share in her. Mm-hmm. And look, she's got stacks of talent, and I think the most exciting part about it is that she's not set yet. She's still really fragile and not really ready to cope, but certainly got a great turn of foot. She exploded. Both wins were nearly quite similar. In fact, yesterday both horses at one. And if she can improve next preparation, which I've no doubt she will, just because physically she'll get better. She's got a big future. I don't know where I go with it at the moment. She won't run next week. She's entered, obviously, for the three-year-old race. She won't get a run in that. She's also in the mare's race, but I don't think we need to take on those seasoned older horses yet with her either.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just take it as it comes a little bit with her, see how she pulls out. Probably ideally she might sneak to Sydney for a highway race, or even a three-year-old Saturday race. I think she's up to that grade before she stops, and then maybe try to set her up nicely for the winter, perhaps.
Absolutely, yeah.
They're thrill a minute at home with the Thomases on a Saturday night, isn't it? Can you imagine it? Ray looking up. Oh, look, Tan. Snow Valley has a relation going back to Kingston Town. Wow.
Poor Tanya. Sorry for that.
Anyway, Matt. Runners today at Merwillumbah, there's a heap of them. Is anyone
Tabatas.
In particular?
Oh, you're good.
Tan Tabatas is the standout, according to Ray.
Yeah, well, he probably is. Out of range today would hurt, because his wet track form is his best form. But no, look, he was very good first up, and he's got a decent space between runs. So I think Ray's probably pretty close to the mark there. He's close to being probably my best today.
Okay, currently quoted in the paper at $5.50, I think. Is the price
shorter than that by the time it goes? I think.
Yeah. Matt. Congratulations on the couple of wins yesterday. Really appreciate your time this morning, and good luck today for all those runners at Merwillumbah.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Matt.
There he is, Matty Dunn. He's a bloke who keeps lining up the runners, and he keeps
extraordinary
getting
strike
into
rate.
The winner's circle, doesn't he?
100 plus winners every season. He's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic effort. And good to have him on the program. He's actually another one of those guys who's more than happy to come on the program at the drop of a hat. And the quiz rort begins. Be aware, they're just trying to push Ray's price out. That's from Scooter. They being the team that I'm excluded
one
from.
Team,
so
mate.
There you go. This is from the critic. Prediction, the Marsh brothers to score the most test centuries in 2019. Ha, 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 ha. Justin Langer should be sacked already for continuing to pick his WA mates.
Very good. What did Tom write earlier this morning? We should try and find his SMS
actually, that's
about
a good one.
The Marsh brothers. Their ages are in excess of their test averages.
That's right.
Which is not good.
That's a concern.
You don't
want
that.
As a current player, yeah. Tom from Sylvania, another one of those people you think you're home on a Saturday night with them and wondering what
you
on earth is going on.
You can't be saying that.
No, well, you can.
No, Tom's very accurate with his...
Hang on. Yeah, no doubt Tom's very accurate with his information. However, the point of it is, Ray...
There's no point. You want people to contribute.
Jimmy and Ray, here's an unusual stat for you. Both Sean and Mitch Marsh are now older than their batting averages. Sean is 35 years and 181 days, and his average is now 34.32. Mitch is 27 years and 78 days, and his average is now 25.40. This is not a stat that a current test batsman who has played more than a few tests would want. Regards, Tom. No, it's not,
Very
Tom.
Good point.
I tell you what, you and Ray need to determine what's happening on a Friday and or Saturday night.
Don't you find that interesting? I found that interesting.
Very interesting.
And Ada Hunter, no?
No, it is. It's fascinating to read. To research it, less interesting. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's go to Dougie, who's on the line there. Hello, Doug.
Hello, Dave, Jimmy, and Ray. How are you?
Happy New Year, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Yes.
Nathan Lyon has been added to the Australian One Day International squad, which you called for on this very program last week.
That's right. I did too, mate. And I'm thinking another player called Darcy Shorten to be in the Australian side.
Darcy Short, yep. I think we're all in agreement there.
Yes.
I can't believe he missed a start there, Doug.
Yeah, and two of my mates are going down from Fort Security and listening on your radio called Johnny Woods and Craig Anderson.
They're listening at the moment?
Yes, mate, yes.
Quick cheerio to them, hey, Doug?
G'day, Johnny.
And Craig.
G'day, Craig.
Yeah.
Good on you, Dougie.
Okay, thanks.
Happy New Year, Doug.
Good on you, mate. I hope you're having a good start to 2019. I tell you what, he got it right last week, didn't he?
He did.
And to think that Nathan Lyon started his time as a state cricketer and an international cricketer in the short form of the game, and yet for whatever reason was excluded for so long.
And has it ever been actually satisfactorily explained why he's been left out of the ODI team?
I think that goes back to our earlier point, Ray, when we're looking for explanations from selectors. They're not very forthcoming, are they?
Exactly. And considering we haven't exactly had a wealth of wins in the ODI format either in the last 12 months, 18 months.
Well, so did you see the stat? I think it was Afghanistan is outperforming us. Probably the way the Nepalese are going in the Big Bash League, I'm telling you. Lama Chani.
We're making fun of our national sport. It's pretty sad, isn't it? You know?
Well, it is.
We love our cricket.
Morning, boys. Can anyone tell me why the Thunder played the Stars at the Gold Coast last night? No, I can't. Turns from June 8.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make more sense to play at Canberra, Geelong or even Ballarat?
True. It's different state for both teams.
Well, the Heat played the Sixers at Metricon, and there was a modest crowd.
Mm.
The Thunder v the Stars at the Gold Coast. That one, I do not understand, Turns. It's a very, very good point that you make. 1353-53 is the open line number. Now, Ray, we had Brad Rosen on Friday on the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition, and he was beyond bullish about the chances of the Sydney Kings over the course of this weekend.
And understandably so.
However, right now, we're just asking, what on earth happened against Illawarra? He joins us on the line now. Hello, Brad.
Oh, that's not an introduction, Jimmy. What's going on there, brother?
he's in good form for 2019, Brad. Don't worry about that.
good morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah,
well, what did go wrong? 78-71 to the Hawks. And
Look, I mean, you can put it down to a couple of things, but I'll be honest with you, I just think Illawarra wanted it more and played harder.
Mm.
I thought they were very good, extremely well coached in Rob Beveridge.
Yes.
He's actually coaching his 300th game, so congratulations on him, and he won. And I just thought they did everything they needed to do to get it won. I don't think the Kings really played their best. Obviously, when you lose, you don't play your best. But scoring 71 points just wasn't enough, and they weren't getting it done at all.
Is that the concern with the Kings? And you know, let the buyer beware.
Mm.
You tend to not get those performances out of a Melbourne United or a Perth Wildcats, and well, that's the soft underbelly of the Kings.
Yeah, look, I've got to be honest with you. It's happening to every team.
Okay.
So if you look at this round, and I'm not sure if you
Cairns,
know,
Taipans won.
Yeah, but this round, Adelaide lost to New Zealand at home, and they shouldn't have lost. And then probably the biggest upset of the year so far, Cairns won on Friday night.
Mm.
And that's against Brisbane, who are one of the hottest teams in the league.
So I think, Brad, is that more indicative of the closeness of the competition? Cairns accepted until this weekend, but in this competition, you can't. There's no easy games, is there?
That is exactly right. Now, you talk amongst, whether it be the commentators, just the public, everyone, when they picked their top four, every team was in it at one stage.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I remember we had a commentators meeting, with the Foxtel. We commentated. We went down to Melbourne. We had a meeting before the season. And everyone had, Sydney, Melbourne, probably most people. Some people didn't have Perth. People had Brisbane. People had Adelaide. Then Cairns were even mentioned that they could be New Zealand were going to be there. It's just everyone is so talented. You've got to remember, there's only eight teams. We're going to nine next year.
Yep.
Eight teams, and there is an abundance of quality players here. Crowds are up. TV ratings are up. The league's going through the roof. There is an average. We're winning games of an average under 10 points. Mm. Every game is literally under 10 points. Okay, some get over that mark. But we had about six games in a row last week where we were all under seven. I mean, it's just the closeness of the league. It's been unbelievable. And I have to sit here and say, I'm not shocked the Kings lost. It is not fantastic. But I'm not shocked. Illawarra, as I said on the show on Friday, there is nothing else better they like than beating Big Brother. And that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, good point. All right, we'll wade into today's games with some trepidation then. Mm. New Zealand up against Perth, Brisbane up against Melbourne.
Yeah, and this one is just like take your pick. Now, I think Perth and Melbourne will win this one, both of them. That's where I think they'll come from. But every game's been such a massive upset, you just don't know. And you've got to bring your A game. It's exactly what you're saying. It's not like, bowling to the Indian cricket team that you know what's going to happen. It's just...
it's score 100.
Yeah, and anything could happen.
And then the Sydney Kings do travel to Cairns on Monday, and obviously Cairns had that confidence booster after those long run of outs, but the Kings should get back on track there, Brad?
Yeah, and that was my best bet of the weekend, and I still stand by that. I even think more so now. I mean, look, if the Kings lose that one, that's a real soul-searching, and some questions have got to be asked. How can you not be ready for that game after losing? They had an opportunity here, and I said this on Friday as well, where if they won both games, they really make a nice stance and pretty much lock themselves in the top four. Well, now they've brought them back. They're not on the top ladder now. They're equal first, now second for percentages-wise. So it was a bit of a stumbling block, and they're the games you don't want to come back. And just so everyone understands, the reason you want to build these wins is if you become top of the ladder, you get home court advantage in the playoffs.
Mm.
And that is massive. You don't want to just be fourth and then have to go on the road to win. You want to be home. The Sydney Kings have 10, 15,000 people with their games. It's phenomenal. They don't want to go to Melbourne and Perth to have to beat them in a three or five-game series.
Very tough. Yeah.
So Perth $2.15 against New Zealand today. Melbourne $1.80 against Brisbane today. And the Sydney Kings, the price hasn't changed from Friday when you tipped them, $1.42 against Cairns, despite that loss to Illawarra. Let's go to the NBA and the 76ers, which is a lot of Australians' favourite team, given what Ben Simmons is doing there. A couple of things. Jimmy Butler... It must be some sort of a controversial character. He's only been there a couple of months, and apparently he's not happy with the way he's being played by Coach Brown.
Yeah, that guy needs a big dummy because he spits it every day.
Right.
What is going on with him? Mm. I honestly thought when he left Minnesota because he wanted to get paid and, you know, he had his differences and I want out, that I thought, look, he'll see the season out and at least get his big payday from Philadelphia before he starts calling out people. He's done it. Not only has he done it, he's done it to Brett Brown, a former Sydney Kings coach. Come on, mate.
Mm.
What is going on? He is just a problem everywhere he goes. They do say that he just speaks his mind, but you know what? We're not in that day and age, so that's a big problem. I do want to give a shout-out, too, to Jonah Bolden. Jonah's playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. His father, Bruce, is a good friend of mine, played in the Kings with me together. Jonah started the other day for his first game in the NBA.
Oh, wow.
He's doing a fantastic job over there. He's playing in the fourth spot and really doing well. Had four blocks in a game the other day, had 9 points. And after every game, they ring the bell. This is what it is, the Philadelphia, and they ring the bell. And he got to ring his first bell after the game. games, as in like man of the match, congratulations. So I was really happy for Jonah Bolden as well. So fantastic. There's another Australian coming through.
Fantastic. Yeah, $1.32 Philadelphia up against Dallas today. Lots of NBA action. We'll go through that with Trent Lenscow a little bit later on in the program.
Yeah, look out to Dallas. They're a really good team. They've got Luka and Philly. You just don't know what's going to go on there. So that could be a good roughie bet, that one.
76ers fans have actually started a petition asking Ben Simmons to stop dating Kylie Jenner. Keep her away from game. To the point
it hasn't got at the end of that and go to Jimmy Smith or Brad Rosen, does it? Or does it just say stop dating her?
I think you might have read my memo. But anyway, Kylie, so the general, to the point where the general manager of the 76ers has come out and said, look, this is ridiculous. Mm. In fact, every game that she's turned up to, we've won.
She's a good luck charm.
So she's a good luck charm. But
well, that's what he has to say when he's superstars dating a girl, by the way. So let me just add that.
Exactly, yeah.
But this goes back to because she's part of the Kardashian family.
Yes.
And the Kardashians have been out with a few NBA players, and those NBA players have turned into jelly.
Yes.
So I think this is where the whole situation is, you know, stay away from our Ben because we don't want him. But I've had a look at those two, and I'll tell you what, are they the glamorous couple or what? Mm.
Well, my mistake here, and I had to defer to our Kardashian expert, Tanya on this one. It's actually Kendall. So Kendall and Ben, not Kylie. Is there a Kylie?
Does it matter? They're all this. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
It's a Kardashian.
It's just so good. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Look, he's a good-looking rooster, Ben Simmons, but my God, he's batting way above his average. Wow.
Don't we all, Brad?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
we all bat outside our crease. Don't worry about that.
I don't know. I tell you what, my wife must have sunglasses on or something that night. I don't know how she chose me.
We've all got that same theory.
Come on, Brad. Give us a send-off.
Well, they'll be all right tomorrow. Don't worry. They had a little faulty yesterday. I know they'll go up to Cairns and they'll get the job done. Go those kids.
Go those kids. Good on you, Brad. Great job, mate. We'll speak again next week.
See you, boys.